So how can we fight for anything else if we don't have an Earth? So for me, you know, being a little funny, you know, it started with me watching Captain Planet as a shorty. Like, Captain Planet was, like, my favorite cartoon. Like, I straight up wanted to be a Planeteer when I was younger. You know, I wanted to have a ring and be able to call on Captain Planet to help save the Earth. But I've always loved nature. You know, I've always been a nature lover. You know, I've never necessarily always had the ability to articulate, you know, why I love nature or to understand the importance of nature. But, you know, whether we're talking about native culture, you know, who started all of this or so on and so forth, like, it's extremely important. So the Green New Deal, you know, I'm giving everything to fight for it. You know, I'm actually going to go to Detroit with the Sunrise Movement, you know, help them mobilize, like, lend whatever influence and power that I have, because at the end of the day, it's most important. You know, our temperatures continue to rise. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just turn on a TV and, you know, you see starving polar bears, you know, roaming, you know, looking for food and dying. I mean, even locally in Chicago, it's interesting how we can have, like, micro-level conversations and not even necessarily realize how we're being impacted in regard to climate change and the temperatures increasing. Because for me, like, I'm 36 years old. Like, I remember being a shorty. Like, I remember being extremely young and our winters being, like, brutal, like, daily, you know, like, multiple days. And again, Our winters are shortening in my mind locally. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not as harsh as they used to be. You know, we used to call it the hawk back in the day, you know, when that cold air would hit you. You know, our winters are milder. I think our summers are lasting longer, you know, going into the fall season. Mm-hmm. So even that interests me. You know, as someone who had asthma when I was younger, my parents grew up in the hood. We moved from the hood to the Oak Park community. What's interesting to me is my asthma was very dire. Like, I had to have treatment on a weekly basis, but literally changing communities. Mm-hmm. Literally join like 50 miles, my asthma was gone. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think we think about these type of things. Like, how did that happen? You know, what impacted my asthma when I was living on the south side of Chicago, in an area that lacked investment, in an infrastructure that lacked investment? And then I moved to an area that has greater investment, greater opportunity, you know, cleaner, you know, cleaner streets, so on and so forth, not lead in the water, so on and so forth. And my asthma disappears. So we need to talk about all these issues, how our children in the Chicago area are being impacted by lead paint, lead in our waters. You know, from, again, talk about that infrastructure. We have these lead pipes underground that are ancient, that are feeding our systems. I think our mayor just came out and pulled back the meters that were being installed because of increased lead in the water. So it's just a huge issue overall, you know, on a micro and a macro level. And I think black and brown communities, you know, if we understand, we only produce like a very minimal level of pollution. You know, I think it's around maybe 15% to 20%. But yet, again, due to the systemic nature and disproportionate nature of our society, we take in and are impacted by like 40% to 50% of the pollution of others. And that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's, a racial justice crisis, a social justice crisis. You know, so we could go on and on about job creation as well. You know, we're seeing the homeless population. That's a huge issue. It's interconnected. Mm-hmm. The lack of job opportunities that exist in many of our communities. I think by pushing a Green New Deal, by jumping off fossil fuels, by creating, you know, again, clean networks and infrastructures, that's going to create more job opportunities for our communities also. So just across the board, it just makes sense to me. You know, I also just hit up, it's funny, I just hit up a homegirl of mine. She's going to teach me how to compost. Like, I wasn't raised to compost. Okay. You know, that wasn't part of my rearing. But again, I'm expanding my horizons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I'm truly going to be about this life, I need to be about this life. So I'm excited to learn how to compost. I'll be doing that within the next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
I love it. And you know what? I feel that because everyone makes fun of me because I am a nerd and I'm actually growing like lettuce and spinach and stuff in my yard. Like I grow food and then I can it and people make fun of me. So I appreciate that.
No, don't let them make fun of you because, again, let's interconnect it. You know, so many areas in our communities are food deserts.
Yes.
You know, so many individuals, they receive their food from these corner stores who don't have fresh produce. Mm-hmm. It's all processed. How does that impact us mentally and physically?
Right.
So the ability to grow your own produce and fresh produce and teaching our youth about the importance of eating fresh produce, I mean, it's huge. So I thank you for that. That's so dope. You know, one thing we're talking about as well and trying to expand upon is the importance of co-ops. You know, because we have food deserts in so many areas, don't wait on a company or a large corporation to come into your community and bring, a Dominick's or a Jewel or so on and so forth. How about we investigate how can we keep the money directly in the community by empowering the community and creating co-ops to where we are, again, growing and selling our own produce to our own community members. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I'm hugely supportive of that. And I have to say, because I've always been in or around Chicago, born in the city and, you know, I've never lived more than 50 miles away from the city. I got to say about what you were saying about the temperature changes as time has gone on is like spot on. I'm about the same age as you. And I distinctly remember several times in elementary school that school just got canceled because it was too cold. Like regularly.
No question.
I remember that. Like it would just be, you know, negative 20, negative 30, and the buses wouldn't run or people's cars wouldn't start. So they couldn't get their kids to school. And, I remember it specifically in high school because I lived so close to my high school, I could just walk there. And I remember multiple times I would just walk to school because it was like three blocks away. And then I'd get there and then we would just sit in the cafeteria for 45 minutes. They'd be like, just kidding, classes are canceled. It's too cold. The buses aren't running. And then walk back home. Like, I distinctly remember that happening. And now, you know, I've got kids. I don't remember. I remember maybe once or twice because of actual snow, you know, like blizzard conditions. But my kids have never had school canceled because it was so cold out. Like, you know, I mean, maybe this last winter when it was like negative 45 that one day. But yeah, it's nothing like it used to be. And it's interesting watching that change. And you're right. It is impacting the ecosystem. Now, okay, so am I out of my mind or do you remember a time when Canadian geese were not here all year round?
I don't know.
See?
And I should, I wasn't supposed to speak on this episode, but just engineer it. But I should say this because you did just mention how it was negative 40 degrees at one point during this winter. And we know that that's the polar vortex. All right. Mm-hmm. So now, Anthony Clark, you are going to come across people that aren't full on right wingers, but right wing propaganda is pervasive and far reaching. So be ready because we got to be able to let people know there's going to be extreme weather conditions. Mm-hmm. Now, why was it negative 43 degrees? Because the polar ice caps are melting. And what happens when you drop an ice cube in a cup of water? The ice cube melts and the water gets colder. And obviously the air over the water gets colder. Now, the polar vortex was a normal thing roughly every decade and a half, every two decades. But now they're less than a decade apart. And what's hitting us is actually not the polar vortex. That always happens. What we're getting on the North American continent is a jet stream from the polar vortex. And when you come across these people that have been influenced by these right-wing propaganda, you can actually point them to meteorologists and professionals that can explain that even better than I just did.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Dropping knowledge. No question. No question. And we know how, again, propaganda plays a huge role. And at the end of the day, again, I hark back to it's about our capitalism. You know, it's about white supremacy. And I feel like people, I mean, do y'all agree or disagree? I feel like at the end of the day, there's a segment of our society where you could literally direct them to a meteorologist. You could literally present them with the correct data that's been, you know, re-researched, reconfirmed by multiple scientists and has been published in, you know, scientific journals. And it wouldn't matter because they don't care necessarily about facts. What they care about, again, is profit and maintaining supremacy. So it's a huge issue. Definitely facts are extremely important. But also I recognize that for a lot of people, they don't care about the facts. You know, we have a president out there that has raped and sexually assaulted several women. He's in office. And if we want to look at it historically, I have a huge issue with that. Facts don't matter to so many of Trump supporters and so many of the supporters of white supremacy. They really don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call them cult 45 for a reason.
Yep, and sadly, they don't matter sadly, the facts don't matter to Democrats either, who think that the Paris Climate Agreement went far enough.
Hey, no lies detected. Where's that meme at? No lies detected. No, seriously, you know, the Democratic Party is not that we have to hold them accountable as well. You know, they have to look into the mirror also. And what's interesting to me about that, I remember being a kid, remember being younger. I mean, this is nothing new. You know, even if we look at the Democratic Party, what was Al Gore saying decades ago?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember Al Gore specifically bringing up these issues, talking about these issues, and trying to push the agenda forward. So there's no excuse at this point. It really isn't. So at the end of the day, it's about money, you know, at the end of the day.
No, I feel that. All right. I'm sorry.